Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Save big money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We have a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes, from setting a post or pouring a walkway to installing concrete block or natural stone. We've got the mix you need in stock today. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The Burt Show.
Kristen, I am saving you last for this question. How was everybody's weekend, Abby?
Mine was pretty status quo. I didn't do anything too crazy except for, you know, go see Beyonce on Friday.
That's why I was saving Kristen for last. Okay, you'll join in on that one. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, we all, like,
yeah, that's y'all, why. You got, yeah, the, I mean, whole half the studio right now. Jumping to get on Beyonce. How was yours, Mo?
It was good. It was actually pretty boring. I really worked through most of it until about 5 o'clock last night. My dude called me. He told me he was in town and he had an extra ticket for Beyonce last night. So my weekend kind of picked up then. And
you went last
I'm
night?
Paying for it now. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We're gonna it was good.
Check in with all you guys in a second. When Cassie rolls in the studio Monday, I don't even ask how was your weekend. I go, what went right? Because she's had a 3-year streak of what's been wrong. So what went right this weekend?
Yeah, you don't need to know that my daughter threw up all over me on Saturday and my son didn't sleep last night. But what went right is Legoland.
Yeah.
It was an awesome 2-hour break. Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I got.
All right. And as I said off the air, okay, and nobody swallowed one. Nobody ended up in the ER. No Legos up the nose.
No, nobody stepped on one. That was brought up. It was a great time. The kids had an awesome time. Win-win.
Okay. All right, Kristen, there are 5 people that have seen Beyonce. Take it from here.
Atlanta understood the assignment. The Burt Show understood the assignment. Q99.7 understood the assignment. The Cowboy Carter Tour was epic! That woman puts on a show like nobody I've ever seen. And like, again, this is the 4th tour that I've been to of Beyonce's, and this one ranks right up there. It was just absolutely phenomenal. Q99.7 had not one but 2 suites right next to each other, and everybody had the most epic time.
A time was had indeed, and I will say this is the best concert I went to. She did way better than her Renaissance tour. This tour was the one, and this show
What made this one better than all the others?
The production.
Yeah.
The overall production of it and the storytelling throughout from beginning to end was like chef's kiss.
Yeah. The flow was like, it was perfection, and she just, her... I mean, fans, it's like every T is crossed, every I is dotted. When that woman on is on stage, wherever she's standing, the fan is blowing so perfectly on her hair, giving her that Beyonce wind.
That Virgo in her.
I mean, she was just, she commands a stage, and her voice, it's really honestly hard to put into words. And I know people are going to think like we're overplaying this, but she seriously is... hands down, one of the greatest performers of our generation.
Yeah, she's the queen, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go so far as to say she is the greatest performer of our generation, because that is probably the best concert I've ever been to.
Yeah.
Her vocals are insane. And I knew going into it that she was going to be captivating and enthralling to watch, but I don't think anything can prepare you for the feeling of actually being there and seeing her perform. And it's not, of course, like her vocals and her songs are like what makes it, but like the entire production is incredibly captivating. I mean, at one point she's on a golden horse flying around and I'm like, God, is that you? It's so incredible. It was fantastic.
How about you?
It was fun, man. It was like my probably fourth time seeing her. I was shocked that she's still doing them death-defying stunts after what happened with that car situation. But my favorite part, I mean, I could kind of see, I think my dude had an inkling because he has connects, but Jay-Z came out last night.
Which, oh, is that right?
Yeah, that was for me, that was epic. I didn't expect that at all. I was just more so there to enjoy Beyonce. When Jay came out, I was like, wow, I haven't seen them together. I don't think ever. I think that's my first time actually seeing them on stage together. So that was epic for me.
What was the car incident you were referring to?
When she had the struggle with the car. It was a show where the car, like, it was leaning in a way where she almost fell, pretty much.
It was like lifted off the ground?
The car is off the ground. It's like flying through the air. She had like a malfunction or whatever. Uh-huh. So I was... Just the fact that she's able to still get up there and do it like it never happened to me was impressive. Because seeing it in person was a little different than seeing it like on TikTok.
How about your bingo card? What went down?
So like the one, I didn't see any technical difficulties. Mm-mm, I didn't see a wardrobe malfunction. Mm-mm. And there were no like A-list Atlanta celebrities, performers that came out. So mine, all three were.
Unfortunately, I did not see her bodyguard, Julius Tackle Jackson. So didn't happen. But she did call out happy birthdays and stuff to people on their signs. Mm-hmm. So she did acknowledge that.
She didn't call us Hotlanta, and frankly, I'm ashamed that I thought that she would, because that's not Beyonce. That's not like her. I did not drop anything off of the side of the railing, but I did come very close because we filmed a TikTok and I have butterfingers. So that was a close call. And did she point directly to me when she sang, "She ain't no diva"? No, but I still felt it spiritually. So
take the win.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Moms everywhere are in a tizzy over Olivia Culpo's hospital bag. What is in my hospital bag? Now, if you don't know who Olivia Culpo is, she is a former Miss Universe. She's also wife to San Francisco 49ers player Christian McCaffrey. And of course, a huge social media influencer because she's beautiful. And she and Christian McCaffrey were expecting, or are expecting, their first child together this summer. And so in preparation for it, Olivia decided to do a "What is in my hospital bag" to let other new or upcoming expecting moms know what to prepare, what they should pack in their hospital bag. And the moms who have been through it before think what she packed is absolutely ridiculous.
Barefoot Dreams blanket, because they're obviously the most comfortable. Extra fluffy comforters, twin size for Christian and I. It's compact into nothing. Two sleep masks. I have one mini fan. I actually got another one right now. I can grip onto a lot more. Break time. Got this really cute light because I saw it on someone else's video. Aromatherapy. Now that this is something you'd have to be careful once the baby actually arrives. I brought a picture of Oliver. My firstborn. This is the most ridiculous thing. These are flameless flickering candles. So those are my comfort items.
Okay, this surprises me because she said this is her second child.
No, her first child is her dog, Oliver. Oh, okay. So has a framed photo of her dog, Oliver, that she decided to bring.
Okay, because as a first-time parent, I could see overloading with all of this stuff because you just don't know what to expect. So maybe that was it? Or is this elitist kind of thing?
No, I mean, I was listening to everything because, like, all right, so this is... When you are giving birth, I hate to break it to you guys, it's kind of a big deal. So for you to make the room as comfortable and comforting, like if you want some like candles, some battery candles that flicker just to kind of like give you the right mood or whatever, I am not mad at that. Whatever you need to do to make that room as calm and serene as possible while you push a human out your hoo-ha, girl, you do your thing. And listening to all the other stuff, like aside from the comforters, but depending on what kind of hospital room they have, if they're like in like a fan, I mean, he's a NFL player and she's, you know, she's a celebrity in her own right. So maybe they have places where they sleep and they can use those. I have no issue with anything she had in that bag.
Yeah, I don't get what the issue is. I mean, sure, I brought a diffuser with essential oils to make the room smell nice, and it was fantastic. And the nurses liked it, or they lied to me and told me they liked it. But, like, I get if it's not for you, but as long as nothing she's bringing is going to disturb other people, then, like, let the woman live.
I don't think we had that at all. I think water breaks, panic ensues, you get to the hospital for us.
Oh, yeah, no, the bag, having the preparation of the bag and the bag, the, mm-hmm. like, the to-go bag, ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing for sure.
We also had two preemies, so yay. We weren't really, didn't have the time to plan.
No, you did not. No, you did not.
Yeah, I felt kind of the same way. I was like, I'm not a mom, but the way that people are talking about her reacting to this hospital bag just feels a little bit like overkill. Mm. Maybe the flameless flickering candles, you can make an argument that that's a little extra, but like, I don't know. I've never given birth. Maybe I would want some candles in there.
You
like,
definitely
I don't
have to have given birth to have an opinion on what you should have in your, yeah. your bag. Yeah.
Yeah. As far as I know, I'm like, she did. Great. That's whatever she packed.
Nailed it.
Great idea, mama. Okay, when I saw this article this morning, I thought this was so fascinating because star of Botched and also husband to Real Housewife Heather Dubrow, Terry Dubrow, is opening up about how he's responding to when his kids want plastic surgery. So if you've never seen the show Botched, he's basically a Beverly Hills plastic surgeon that helps women or men who have gotten really bad plastic surgery, and he kind of fixes them up and makes it less botched. And so when he was asked about how he and Heather are handling their kids when they want cosmetic procedures, he says that his first answer is no, and then he makes them talk about it, and he tries to get to the root of the why they want these different plastic surgeries, which I thought, okay, that's very mature. And so I'm reading this article, and it says, okay, this their daughter wants lip filler, and he's trying to get to the bottom of the why. But then he says something interesting. He said, well, if they had a really bad nose, it's something we could talk about, but anything else, like, we need to really get to the bottom of. So I'm like, oh, so if you think your kid is busted, it's fine to get a nose job, but lip filler, like, that's too far out there.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Was mom's punishment for her daughter too extreme for the offense?
She wants to know if she's the a-hole for grounding her daughter and canceling her senior trip after she found out her daughter was cheating on her boyfriend. She writes, I have two daughters, Lizzie, who's 17, and Mackenzie, who's 14. Their dad and I divorced a few years ago after I discovered he was having an affair. I have the kids most of the time, and their dad has them every weekend and during summers. Lizzie had been dating Jacob, who's 18, for over a year now. Jacob is constantly at our house. He's a sweet, good young man, and I believe he's going to be valedictorian of their class. However, a few weeks ago, I overheard Lizzie, my daughter, on the phone with a guy, clearly flirting. And of course, at first, I thought it was Jacob, but then I heard her say the name Brandon. I realized she was talking to someone else. Then a week later, she mentioned to me that she was heading out to hang out with a friend. And when I looked out the window, I saw her get into a car and greet a guy with a kiss. And it wasn't her boyfriend, Jacob.
Busted.
Even after that, Jacob continued to come over, hanging out with Lizzie, and he and Lizzie still acted like a couple, holding hands, laughing, spending time together, just like they always had. I felt disgusted knowing my daughter was being a two-timer. After Jacob left one day, I confronted my daughter and I asked her point blank, "Are you cheating on your boyfriend with another guy?" She said it was none of my business and that her personal life was hers only. I told her that she was in the wrong and that I raised her better than to treat people like this. And she told me she was bored with her boyfriend, Jacob, and that the new guy, Brandon, was more her type now. I told her if she wasn't happy, she should just break up with Jacob. And she said she didn't know if she wanted to be with Brandon or if she was just having fun, flirting and teasing.
I told her point blank, cheating's unacceptable and wrong, and as a consequence, I grounded her. I also told her she wasn't allowed to go on her senior trip with her friends.
Oh, ouch. That's harsh.
She obviously did not take that too well and has been at her dad's place for the last couple of days. My ex-husband called me saying I was being unreasonable, not letting her go on the trip, and that her and Jacob were just a, quote, high school thing. He told me that I needed to put my bitterness aside and stop punishing his daughter. I told him I was teaching our daughter right from wrong and that actions have consequences. So am I the a-hole?
Let me give just a quick observation right off the bat before we get into the specific thing. This is where co-parenting comes in handy. So, and again, we weren't perfect, that's for sure. But by the time the kids got to a certain age when they were dating and all that, if Stacy, my ex-wife, felt this strongly about it before she institutes the punishment, she would call me up and go, hey, what do you think about blank?
Yeah.
And we would make that decision together. All right, so now let's just focus on this one.
Mm-hmm. So the question, and remember, dad cheated on mom, and that was the reason for the divorce. And somebody did ask, is your daughter aware of the reason for the divorce? And the original poster said yes.
There's obviously some residual feelings from mom about the divorce.
I think
we can all agree on that. I'm sitting here thinking, like, of course you want to teach your kids right from wrong. And for instance, if you found out your kid was being a bully to somebody else, was treating somebody else poorly, we see these punishments all the time. You would take your kid, you would talk to them, and you would punish them for bullying somebody else. So why should cheating be treated any differently?
Here's how I feel about it. Here's how I would have handled it. And I don't know if I can answer that question. But to me, a punishment over something like this is missing the point. Like, I would sit Hollis or Hayden down and go, this is who you want to be, man. I mean, this is how you're going to, this is not who you are. These are your values right here. I don't think it doesn't feel like a punishable offense to me. It feels like a life lesson. Like, look, this is the first time you're dating somebody and you're going to start a pattern of cheating on them this early. That's not who you are, man, right? That's not who you are. But I wouldn't have punished them.
Yeah, it does feel a little bit like she's trying to police her personal life, which feels a little bit different to me than bullying, although I do see how that train of thought can feel similar. So if I was a parent, which I'm not, so I'll give my advice. I would have given my daughter the opportunity to make it right. Like, if you can break up with your boyfriend and if you can do the right thing by getting out of this relationship, like, okay, you learn your lesson and you move on. But if you're going to continue to drag this guy around who has a close relationship with our family, that's something I couldn't stand by. And honestly, I don't think the grounding went too far, but I do think she should have talked to the co-parent about it.
Yeah, I don't think I would have punished my kid for this. I think there were times in life when I may have gotten punished for something, but I think I would have been better off getting a true talking to and a real sit down at a certain age of an understanding of what I was doing that was probably deeper than what I even realized. So for me, I don't think it's a punishable offense as much as it's really like a, we got to really get down to the bottom of this and why you're living this way. But I think life has a way of showing you the consequences of making personal decisions like that. And you don't have to as a parent.
And she's also stripping her of a major, like, memorable moment, her senior year, her senior trip. That seems harsh with no past kind of history of this thing. The first time you're going to punish for this offense is taking away a major memory of their senior year. It just seems too harsh for me.
It also reminds me, too, when it comes to even like when you start young, like the punishment should match the crime as far as like whatever you're taking away should have to do with like if your kid is watching too much of the tablet or whatever and you tell them to stop and they don't, you take the tablet away. This doesn't seem to correlate. Taking the senior trip away.
Yeah.
From the infidelity, but I love Abby's idea. Like, okay, you call her out for the bad behavior. Like, you don't do this to somebody. I'm going to give you a chance to rectify it. And so it's not the mistake that's going to define you. It's how you handle the mistake.
Exactly. Or maybe she was going to get freaky with Brandon on the trip and that's why she pulled it.
Yeah, let her go on that senior trip. There's plenty of guys there.
The Burt Show.
I think it's good to have pride for where you come from or where you live. Like, I mean, Kentuckians are like a whole other level. There is something about us in our state that we absolutely love. Anybody hates on it. Like, only we can talk bad about Kentucky. You can't talk bad about Kentucky.
I lived in Texas for 2 years.
Yeah, same way.
That's next level.
Yeah, that is the same way. And I feel the same way about Atlanta. I've been here for 14 years now, and this is, you know, proudly where I live, and I love this city. I think it has a lot to offer. So whenever anybody hates on it, like when Matt Rife did. Oof. I just wanted to like come across the table at him.
This guy. But he turned around, I think, on Atlanta at some point.
Yeah. Go for it.
Too late.
Yeah, too little, too late.
You already said the hate, man. You can't put that toothpaste back in the toothpaste tube. But I came across this video from Michelle Jantz, and she came to visit the ATL and fell in love with it.
Didn't nobody tell me that Atlanta is actually the coolest city that maybe I've ever been to. My expectations were low, and now I'm like, is this my new favorite city that I've ever been to? I'm sitting here drinking a sun-dried tomato basil matcha lemon spritz from a local butcher that my sister-in-law gets her meat from. I drove through a film set today, so it felt like I was in LA, but like the neighborhoods feel like a cleaner Austin. So young, so hip, a ton of cool businesses. The people are active, the people are cool, so much more diverse than Austin too, which I love, and we're on the East Coast, so there's like a little bit of that East Coast charm, even though we're not coastal. Not to mention, so much more affordable than LA or Austin. I was looking up apartments. I'm nosy. I'm shook. I went to a spot called Hell Yeah Gluten-Free this morning where I got a gluten-free biscuit and donut. And everybody's so nice. Literally every single person I talk to, we then have a 10-minute conversation. They compliment me and then we start chatting about their life. I gotta come back. I gotta come back ASAP. I love it. I love it.
And I love hearing love for our city. And then Bert hits me up and he goes, dude, the best part's the comments.
Yeah, best and deflating.
Well, it's funny because one person said, so crazy how I have no clue what the F she's talking about. I think I just learned about that there are two different Atlantas. somebody else said, glad you like it, darling, but not sure if you've heard. Atlanta's full. Thank you for your visit. Flights home are direct from our wonderful international airport.
I do agree with that one.
To non-AT aliens, she's talking about MLK in West End. Atlanta is so gentrified. If sis calls out the diversity over Austin, then she's simply saying she saw some melanin while in town. Next, I feel like I'm the only person who agrees with her in the comments. I'm of course not from here, and it's just a way more pleasant place to be, better than Jersey.
Some of the comments I thought were, and I rarely run into the comment section, man. I really do.
Oh, I do every time.
Sometimes I go there before I watch the video. Yeah.
And I got burned doing it this time because here she is saying so many great things about the city that we live in here. And then I felt like it just got into this back and forth about gentrification and you haven't been in my part of the city. And of course you can't, when you're visiting a city, you can't go. I mean, there are 50 different neighborhoods all around Atlanta. So the fact that this was a young white woman that was clearly hanging out in like Virginia Highlands and in some of the areas in Atlanta that may have been gentrified, and at least half the comments I was looking at were focusing on that, I just kind of felt it was deflating.
Can I tell y'all, when we were on vacation, I saw a lot of U.S. cities because we did a mini road trip. And I went to some that I expected to be full of like art and creativity, like Burlington. I thought it would be like an artist's paradise. Paradise. All of those cities pale in comparison to Atlanta. I got back to Atlanta and I was like, dang, I am lucky to live in this city. It is so unique. There's so much creativity. And I think sometimes when you live here and you grow up here and you see the city for what it really is, though, you start to loses its luster and you don't realize how dang cool it is until you leave and come back.
However, this comment you cannot disagree with. Okay, now try driving from where you are 10 miles west at 4 p.m. Yeah. Then let me know what you think.
I mean, it's a good point.
Yes.
It's a good point.
It is a very valid point.
But when you're just visiting, can't we just let them have it?
Let them enjoy it.
The Bert Show.
All right, Mo, so the offense here is checking somebody else's DMs, maybe.
Yeah, I'm pretty embarrassed. I have to admit this. This is probably a new low for me, but it is what it is. I didn't ask to be in this position. But here we are. So my cousin, a really good friend of mine also, we're pretty close. And he came to me and he said that he didn't feel like I was active enough on social media. And he's really good at social media. He's younger than me, so he knows a lot more about it. And he offered his services to help. He's like, you know, I love social media. I'm always on social media. And I wish I had your social media so that I could use it to get a lot of followers and do whatever he wants to do. So I'm like, if you really want to control my social media that bad, you can have it. Like, you do your thing. I don't mind at all. So he's like, are you serious? I'm like, I'm dead serious. So he says, cool. So he takes on to helping me out with my social media. Now, what I didn't realize would happen, I guess, in this is somehow, some way, when I gave him my password to have all of my social media, whatever he did, like at first it was, he just had my password and that was it. All I could see was my personal pages. He did something to where it intertwined my page with his. So not only could I now log into his page, he could log into mine. I would actually see his notifications pop up on my phone as if they were my messages. So I don't know if y'all remember this, but there was a time when that first happened and his messages started popping up on my phone. My lady thought that it was a woman sending these messages to me.
Right.
And I had to explain what happened and why that wasn't the case. So at first, you know, that was funny. Left it alone. Didn't think anything about it. Then maybe about a couple weeks into it, I started to realize that these messages were coming in pretty frequently from quite a few different women. And some of them pretty graphic messages. And so I was reading one of them one day.
Just some light reading.
He just goes right over that. So I was reading over one of them one day.
I mean, you know, at first I didn't feel so bad about it because I didn't ask for it. I didn't realize it was going to happen. And I really did read it initially thinking it was my message. And then I was trying to figure out who it was from. And then finally I put it together like, oh, this is his IG. This is not mine. And these messages are coming from women to him. And he's a pretty active guy.
Okay.
He's enjoying his life.
Okay.
In a lot of different ways.
He's out there dating. He's going to the clubs.
Living.
Okay.
And so one of the messages was so good that I had to know what he said. Because I could only see what like she was saying.
Sure.
But in my mind, I'm like, what did he say to get her to say that? So my lady is next to me and I'm like, I gotta know. Like, it's so wrong, but I have to know. And she's like, listen, you shouldn't do it, but I kinda wanna know too. So just like, it's not, what's the harm in reading it one time?
Right.
And then telling them, hey, it was a mistake.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to see this, but I saw it and here we are. So I open it and I read it and it was worth the read.
Oh, yeah.
It was very much so worth the read. He's a funny guy, man.
Does he have game?
No. Actually, no. That's what makes it funny.
Oh.
His game is very aggressive, very to the point. And he says things to women that, as a man, I would never have the heart to say. Like, he's very direct about what he wants.
When you say heart, you mean decency.
Both. Yes.
So you're being a little too vague for me because I'm nosy as heck.
Uh-huh.
What were the messages? Can you dance around it at all?
I mean, I feel like I am. Let's just say when he meets a woman and he wants her to know that he's into her, he gets right to it in very graphic ways of what he's looking for and what he wants her to do.
Oh, okay. He's giving like step-by-step instructions.
Like straight to it. Okay. Like there's no
going into the play-by-play?
Yes. Like, this is what I want you to do. This is what I plan on doing. Are you into that kind of thing? If not, there's the door and then I'll go find somebody who is.
Right out. He must be a very good looking dude.
Yeah, he is.
You're allowed to say there's another guy that's good looking.
Well, he's family. So no, I mean,
that's what I'm saying. He's family. Can't be like, yeah, he's busted.
But so now, that wasn't so much the problem though. Like, that felt like, okay, that's one off. I did it. I probably shouldn't have did that. It's over. I can't stop.
It's a soap. It's a running soap opera now.
Yes. Yes. It just, it's like every single day there's more. And it's like, oh, I go to my lady like, you'll never believe what he said today. And she's like, what did he say? Tell me. And this dude is like calling me on the phone and we talk about life and I just don't mention this. And I feel horrible about it. But it's better than anything I'm watching on Netflix, man. I can't stop.
Entertainment is entertainment, man.
It is what it is.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
I have not one, but two PSAs when it comes to traveling. The first PSA is dedicated to all the single ladies out there looking at you, Abby. I actually thought of your friend who was at the airport recently and had a hottie sit next to her, okay?
Uh-huh.
So, single ladies, I hate to break it to you, but you will not fall in love at the airport. This is courtesy of Tyler Bender, Kelsey June Jensen, and Nikki Dubes.
Girl, he's not hot. You're just at the airport.
It's 8 a.m. and he's eating Panda Express.
Stop checking your baggage. Start checking your standards.
Those aren't butterflies. That's just cabin pressure.
Your compression socks are working on your brain.
You're not in love. You're in a Hudson News.
Is he tall?
Or is his economy seat tiny?
A Spirit Airlines flight does not count as a trauma bond.
Send us to someone who needs to catch flights, not feelings.
Oh my gosh.
Just letting you know, is he hot or are you just at the airport?
The standards are different when you're traveling, right? When you're on vacation with a bunch of dudes or a bunch of girls, it just feels like it's more complete if you do hook up with somebody. So I think that the standards are lower.
Yeah, an airport 10 is really a real life 4. Let's be real.
And that's what these ladies are just trying to let you know. Just might want to check yourself when you're at the airport. Is he hot? Or are you just at the airport? All right, now this next PSA is for parents. And I think we can all agree, there are some lawless spaces. I say the airport is a lawless space.
Mm-hmm.
Also in the car while you are on a road trip, that too is a lawless space. Whatever rules that you have implemented at home do not apply when you are traveling with children. For instance, I know a lot of people like to limit screen time.
Oh, okay. Now right? I know what you're talking about. Okay.
A lot of people, a lot of parents want to limit screen time for their kids. Well, one father was asked, for a 10-hour trip, how much screen time should your kids have? This is from At the Tropical Fruit on TikTok.
It's 10 hours. They can do all 10 hours of it.
As he's fast.
That was my thought.
I don't got no problem with that.
Adult in. Nah.
I have zero problem with that. What happens when you get a kid in the car, right? And you are on a long road trip. Dietary restrictions out the window. Like, if you want to have all the gummy snacks, if you want to have all the chips,
yep.
If you whatever it, you can stuff in your mouth to keep you to STFU, absolutely, yep. You can have.
Survive in advance.
Yes. Yep. So I feel like that's the case for in the car on road trips. That's the case at an airport. If you see a parent traveling and you see a child with Doritos in one hand and Cheetos in the other and a tablet in front of them, do not judge that parent.
Mind your business.
They are just trying to friggin' survive. We are in lawless spaces. There are no laws. Leave us the hell alone.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
It was a huge night for people with no lives. A huge day for the unemployed, if you will, because last night was the season finale of Love Island USA. If you are,
let me guess, in a shocking plot twist, all of them fell in love with each other.
That would be the plot twist this season because people were calling it Situationship Island or Friendship Island because a lot of people felt like the love was lacking this year on Love Island compared to other seasons.
Yeah, no one likes each other.
That's not true. Nick and Alandria are soulmates.
It's like kind of one-sided for the couples that like maybe like each other. It's just there's no balanced couple. And if this was UK, they would have already have written vows. They would already be summering in Marbella for their beautiful honeymoon together. But this season, it seems like social media has shipped Islanders and the Islanders are just running with it.
Is it possible... I'm just throwing out this theory that there are some reality TV shows that play more on the possibility of love happening on this show than Love Island. Like, there's still some hope that on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, they're really going to fall in love with each other. This one just feels like pure soup for drama.
Flag on the play, because I brought this up to Rebecca last night because we watched the finale while we were live streaming on the Burt Show Instagram. I was like, isn't it crazy that there have been more successful marriages out of Love Island than The Bachelor?
Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, because you would expect a show like The Bachelor, which really harps on romance and finding these eligible bachelors throughout the country, you would think that this is that is where romance and marriage would thrive. And there are successful couples that have come out of like Bachelor in Paradise. Mm-hmm. But Love Island, I feel like by far has had way more successful couples.
Really?
Love Island is a marriage machine, like for sure. Babies, marriages, long-time relationships. There's this like list of Love Island UK couples, who's still together, who has a baby, who's married, that I revisit all the time because I'm a stalker and I want to see where everybody is. But there are so many couples that make it past the end of the show.
This is so interesting to me. Let's pick this apart for just 1 second. For those that aren't even like watching the show, so when we're talking about who wins and who loses, you're like, I don't even watch it. But why would this show, where it's just a bunch of hotties in bathing suits the entire time, be the one show? What are they doing differently on this show that The Bachelor and Bachelorette are not doing?
They're having a lot of coitus in front of each other.
Is it?
It is the raunchiest.
Is it physical?
It is so raunchy that I forgot how salacious the show is. When I turned it on, I was like, they're allowed to put this on the internet? Because they are participating in activities on camera, under the covers.
Oh.
It's very spicy, but
Mo just got introduced. He's like, wait a second, how many episodes are there?
I'm shocked they actually showed it.
Oh, yeah. No, they actually showed a lot this season that I did not expect. They really went for it.
They're not hiding it at all.
So is the premise here, or are we supposed to deduce that if you're allowing the couples to be more physical on the reality TV shows, that they're going to end up in... I can't say healthy, but long-term relationships?
I don't know.
Theory?
I think, in my opinion, if I was going to write a thesis on it, I feel like the IQ points are lower on the show, and I just feel like dumber people are happier. So
honestly, I think that's perfect, actually. Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
You know what I mean? They're just happy to be here. Okay. You're hot, I'm hot.
I love that.
You have a degree from LinkedIn University.
I love that that's the opening line for your thesis. Dumb people are just happier.
Cavemen. In this essay, I will.
Cavemen and cave women were falling in love with each other all the time. It has nothing to do with smarts. Okay.
Exactly. So last night, it all came to a head. 36 episodes finally came to a 2-hour finale where super hot baddie Ariana Maddox came out, lined up the 4 remaining couples, and told us who is the winner of Love Island.
The winners of Love Island USA 2025 are Amaya and Brian!
What does that mean to people that don't watch the show?
So Amaya was kind of a fan favorite because she was a little bit of an underdog. Some of the guys weren't treating her well. And then Brian, who is now her partner, had this really heroic moment during a challenge. He stood up for her because they were saying she was too emotional. She was too clingy. She was calling people babe and my love after knowing them for like a day. And he stood up for her and said, no, like in our culture, in Latin culture, just very normal to be very affectionate. And then they got together. And I think people just really shipped them after that.
Amaya is the silly goose of Love Island. She was like the cinnamon roll of the villa, and she is now America's sweetheart. And if I think she was sitting next to us, we would find her very annoying. But on television, she's just very quirky and cute. So everyone rooted for her.
So now the subplot on this, I think you told us a couple of weeks ago, was there's $100,000 on the line. Either they can split it or one person can take it.
Exactly what we thought was going to happen happened because they give one of the people in the couple 100,000. $100,000, and that person has the power in their hands to say whether or not they're going to split it. So of course it went to Brian, who everyone was kind of like, oh, we feel like if it went to Amaya, she's just such a cinnamon roll. Of course she's going to split it. It wouldn't be very much drama. And so when it went to Brian, we were like, oh my God, he's going to take the money and run, which of course he did not. Both of them were very emotional. And by both of them, I mean specifically just Amaya when she found out that she won.
It's just a message to everyone out there who's misunderstood. Nobody should ever be tamed, and that there's always someone out there for you who's going to love you for you and appreciate all of your craziness or whoever you are. Don't ever settle for nobody. Oh my God.
The great philosopher Amaya Papaya, of course, once again, blessing our feeds with all of the wisdom and knowledge. So honestly, now we got to start taking bets on how long these people are going to last, because sometimes you can look at them and go, I feel like there's hope there. But then it's kind of like, were you just doing it so you could stay in the game?
Yeah. 1.5 months tops.
Really?
That's what I'm giving you.
I feel like out of all the couples that were left, I do feel like Amaya Papaya and Brian do have a really good shot at lasting at least 6 months. We'll see how everyone else lasts.
A whole 6 months, huh?
One couple already broke up during the finale, which was the best. The best part of the finale. It was this couple named Chris and Huda, and Huda has been like Hurricane Huda in terms of like drama, and she's paired up with this cinnamon roll of a man, Chris, and they break up on their very romantic date. They're like on this pond having dinner, and in the middle of their fight, there's a woman that comes out and just starts singing Blue River or Moon River. What is it?
Moon River.
It was so uncomfortable. It was amazing television.
Get it? The Bird Show.